is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Monday morning, Tim Murray in for Femi Abebefe. But the good news is the man you came here to hear from, Michael Lombardi, in the house as we get you ready for a busy day. The NFL betting guide at VSIN, Michael, is out. You contributed to it. I threw in a couple things here and there, but it's the summertime, last day of June. You ready to get those flip-flops on and head out to Ocean City there, Michael?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wish I could. I'm ready to build an ark. I mean, we got more rain here. We're going to have to, I don't know if I'm going to make it home. I'm going to have to sail there. This rain's pouring coming down here. You know, when you don't have much hair and you got to go out in the rain in the morning before you get to the show, it's tough. But yeah, I mean, look, this is summer homework time, Tim. We got to do our summer homework. We've got to, you know, get ready for all these teams and put away all the nonsense that's been talked about in the offseason and really use the betting guide to kind of help you work through the season, whether you're in the Survivor. Mike Palm was on the show on Thursday and said they're at a record pace on Survivor this year at Circa. Have you joined yet?
Not yet. my wife keeps giving me grief because last year, both of my entries, Michael, bye-bye in week three.
Yeah, so I can see that.
I gotta figure out my tactic of not getting eliminated. But I looked over my shoulder here at Circa, 1,126 already in Survivor. And we've got all of July, all of August, and early part of September. So yeah, we you know, that week one, it's always fun. You look at that initial week, there's only a couple big time favorites. Cincinnati's a pretty significant favorite week one. I know a team you and I are expecting some decent things from, maybe that bounce back from Joe Burrow. But, you know, you never want to enter. I remember a couple of years ago, I want to say it was the only game Jacksonville won all year long.
Yeah,
and they won it in week one against Indianapolis. And like 30% of the pool was already gone.
And you heard that big thump at the Circa. Everybody was out. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, last year was hard. Look, I can understand where your wife's coming from because it is a tough terrain to navigate. It really is. It appears to be so easy that all we have to do is pick a winner once a week. Well, okay, you can only use one team one time. And, you know, there's only so many. And every game, unlike college, there's really the matchups matter so much, and you're going to have to go off the grid. So it's fun, though. I love watching it. I don't play it, but I love watching it and giving out advice on who I would play and who I wouldn't. But to win that is really more than just luck. It takes it really is a lot of luck. You got to navigate it. You got to get a break here and a break there.
Well, you got the Thanksgiving wrinkle. You've got the Christmas Day wrinkle, of course. I'm looking back at my initial Circa Survivor entry in 2022. Week five, I was eliminated. I had the Jaguars, who were a touchdown favorite against the Texans. And then how about this? I went back to the well last year. Week three, Jaguars, Texans. We didn't know how good the Texans were at that point. They eliminated me. Right. And then I had the Cowboys at home. Or no, on the road at the Cardinals as a 12.5 point favorite, and they got knocked out as well. So that was I remember that Sunday very vividly. It was the day after Notre Dame had 10 men on the field and lost to Ohio State. So it was a really good weekend, Michael. I think of it very fondly.
Yeah, I'm sure your wife does too, right?
Exactly.
But look, the Cowboys lost 5 road games. You just happened to pick the wrong one. I mean, they only won 3 road games. Yep. And I think, you know, that's the hard part about it is, you know, I think one of the things that matters in the NFL where we don't talk enough about is no team thinks that they're that badly, especially in the month of September. You're going to see some teams be able to work scheme, be able to kind of figure out a way to win a game. It isn't until November and December where you can't hide your flaws anymore. In September, you can hide some of your flaws, not all of them, but you can hide some of them. Whereas, so it's going to be really easy. Let's take the Bengals against the, you know, Jacoby Brissett and the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, that looks easy on paper, but, you know, the Bengals are a slow starting team. You don't know what to expect from Brissett and, you know, New England, is their offensive line going to be good? We know their defensive front has been really good. I think you have to, you got to make sure you take somebody that can keep you in the contest in September and then figure it out as you go.
Yeah, looking at week one, Cincinnati right now, the largest favorite, a 9-point favorite against New England. The second largest favorite is Buffalo. But I mean, can you trust Buffalo right out of the chute here, Michael? They're a touchdown favorite against Arizona, and then everyone else is less than a touchdown. So right out of the beginning, like you said, hey, it's so easy. All we got to do is just pick a winner. Well, we only have two favorites north of a touchdown, and one of them in the Buffalo Bills is one that I think plenty of people have concerns about how good they'll be, especially right out of the chute.
How good are they on defense? And then I think this is the big issue if you're Buffalo. You're not sure what Jonathan Gannon's going to do on defense. There has been a strong movement out in Arizona to change what they were doing. So there's not going to be a lot of tape for the Buffalo Bills and Joe Brady to look at and say, okay, here's what they're doing. Here's what they've changed to their defense. That's almost like you're going against a new staff, even though they did not change staff. And look, let's face it, Arizona last year ran the ball effectively on every team they played. James Conner was very good last year. You know, and we saw Denver go in there on a Sunday night or a Monday night and upset Buffalo in there. So it looks easy on paper, but there's some things and kinks you're going to have to work out. That's why I think preseason, the guide, is so damn important, because you're going to get a chance to really take a look at it and see what is actually happened. Look, preseason isn't for evaluating the entire team. Preseason is for evaluating certain parts of the team. And that's what we have to focus on. And when we put the second guide out that you've subscribed to, you're going to be able to understand where the strengths and weaknesses of all these teams are.
Yeah, you look at the AFC East, and I'm sure we'll get into it as the show goes on. Very coin toss-y, if that's a word. It is not, but I just decided to throw it out there. But you got Buffalo at plus 170, the Jets at plus 190, the Dolphins at 2-1, all to win the division. As Michael Lombardi said, the guide is out, vsin.com/subscribe, running a special right now, 13 months for $199, and you get all of our guides. That'll also include the college football guide, which will come out later this summer, and also, as Michael alluded to, a update to our NFL betting guide. One of the teams you mentioned, new staff. The Bills might look a little bit like a new staff. Well, how about a team that has a completely new staff? The Los Angeles Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, after winning a national championship, doing what he had hoped to do for his alma mater, he's back in the NFL, Michael. And this is a team that you are a bit bullish on heading into 2024. The Chargers right now, their win total sitting at 8.5. And you expect a above 500 season for the boys in powder blue.
I do. I think, look, every time you look at a team, you say, okay, what does the coach bring to the team? Jim Harbaugh is going to bring toughness. The guy's a 70% winning percentage coach in his career in the National Football League. We know the Chargers have good players, right? Their quarterback, they've asked so much of him to win the game that I think it's going to be more about Gus Bradley. It's going to be, Gus Edwards. It's going to be more about their running game. It's going to be about, you know, can they control it? But here's where I think the big issue is, especially when you're talking about winning games. When you look at what Brian Daboll did his first year in New York, what Brian did with a very talentless team was manage the game correctly. He gave himself a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter. They didn't turn the ball over. They stayed in the game. They made selective plays during the game, and then they were able to finish the game off in the first half of the season. Game management was really good. It was really good. And so I think what you're going to look at here is you're going to look at the ability for Jim, who's a very good game manager. You're going to look at him as a very good game manager, and I think he'll be able to do a good job in that and be able to handle it, and then that'll get them more wins as they move forward.
When you think about Greg Roman reuniting with Jim Harbaugh, obviously spent plenty of time with John there in Baltimore, but started with Jim at Stanford, then went with him to San Francisco, and the success that they had with Colin Kaepernick there getting to a Super Bowl. What do you make of the relationship and the expectations of a Justin Herbert, who everyone has seen the talent, hoping that everything could kind of come together? Greg Roman now with Herbert this season.
Well, they also have Mark Trestman. They've had other pieces to help in the passing game, and they're going to have to do a better job of coordinating a passing game, because that's Herbert can throw the football. I mean, they're not going to want to be in full shotgun all the time. Herbert can run play action. He can get the ball down the field. Look, everybody's worried that they've lost Keenan Allen. Everybody's worried that they've lost Mike Williams. They didn't have those guys a lot. Keenan Allen is going to average 11 yards a catch. He's a good player, but he's getting first downs. He's not getting touchdowns. So where Harbaugh will help the quarterback out, I think this is really important. I think he's going to put him in situations where they are going to run the ball. It isn't going to be first down run, second down run, then throw it. I think it's going to be more play action. I think they're going to take advantage of the skill set that Herbert brings to the table and then allow it to work within the offense. But the run game with Roman is very good. They can run the football. They have good design. They've got to incorporate that run game into a play action pass game as well.
Our guide is out right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to be diving into it all throughout the show. We're also going to hear from Brandon Ayuk, who is making the rounds a little bit, and whether or not he expects to stay in the Bay Area. Real quickly before we hit a break, also, you had a poll question up on your Twitter feed at M. Lombardi NFL earlier this week. We're going to visit those poll results and which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team. And one of those coaches, Michael, is Mike McDonald, who goes out to Seattle from Baltimore. And the poll results are favorable, and you also anticipate a favorable season for him out in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they won 9 games last year, and they had the worst defense in football. They couldn't stop the run. They're 20-13 at home, which shouldn't be the case. I mean, that field, that crowd noise should help them, and it should be a situation where they could find. But to give up 400 yards to the Pittsburgh Steelers in week 17 of the season, you knew a change was coming in Seattle, unfortunately, for Pete Carroll. And because they couldn't fix what his strength was, which was coaching defense, I think McDonald will do that.
Join the conversation. You can tweet Michael at M. Lombardi NFL. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. We're up and running on this Sunday morning. It's the Lombardi Line. I'm in Vegas. Michael there in New Jersey. Which first-year head coach will have the most success? Michael wrote about it in this year's VSiN NFL Betting Guide. Come on back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got our all-new NFL betting guide out now. We're going to be talking about it all throughout the show, and there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber with that NFL betting guide. It can be your secret weapon for the upcoming season. In-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends, all the tools you need to bet smarter this season. Plus, our experts have shared their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. But you must be, folks, a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, get an annual VSiN Pro subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally, it's $240 a year, but we're giving you $199 with the promo code Lombardi, and we'll throw in an extra month. That's called a baker's dozen if you go get some bagels this morning. So head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com. $199, 13 months. Lombardi is that promo code. Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, front office member for many years there in New Jersey. I'm Tim Murray, filling in for Femi Abebefe on this Sunday morning. Michael, we have a bunch of new head coaches, but you look at a Jim Harbaugh, a Raheem Morris, they have been a head coach before. Well, you put out a poll question on Thursday on your Twitter feed at M. Lombardi NFL, and these were the results. Which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team? 55% of folks chiming in said it would be Mike McDonald, 22.5% believed it would be Brian Callahan in Tennessee. Gerard Mayo in New England got 14.6%. And then Dave Canales in Carolina, 7.9%. We got a couple replies, but before we get to that, does this poll and the results from your followers surprise you at all? Or is this about what you anticipated when you put this poll out there last week?
I actually think people have listened to the show because I'm high on McDonald, and I'm high on McDonald for a couple reasons, right? I think the key element of any great coach is to understand his personnel and then utilize his personnel to the scheme, not become scheme specific and force the personnel into it. And I think when you look at the Baltimore Ravens last year, what Mike was able to do, getting Kyle Van Noy off the Pat McAfee show, getting Javion Clowney off in August to come in there. I mean, it's really kind of remarkable, right? And so they get 18 and a half sacks out of two of those players. He played pretty much most of the year without a legitimate corner, without guys that can flat out cover man-to-man, and he got a lot of pressure. He used the Wink Martindale scheme to kind of help him get pressure. He backed off. He used Kyle Hamilton in the right way. So I think this is what he'll do. I really don't think that Seattle is void of talent. I think Seattle has some good players. I mean, Witherspoon's going to be a good corner. We know Michael Jackson can cover, right? Woolen has been a good corner for them. He's a fifth-round pick in 22. So they've had corners there. And I think, to me, what they've not been able to do is pressure the passer. And I think with the scheme that they're going to put in place with the crowd noise, I think they could be pretty good. He gets Jerome Baker. Now, assuming he comes out back healthy, that'll be a huge upgrade for them at inside linebacker. Dotson fits what he does. He wants an athletic linebacker that can run around. So I like their defensive structure, you know, and Murphy, the kid they drafted in the first round to go along with Draymond Jones, gives them two inside nickel rushers that I think could help them.
Well, that's the interesting thing. You and I and Femi were on doing the draft live, and when the Atlanta Falcons surprised us all and went with Michael Penix with the eighth overall pick, it led to this drop of defensive players. Latu's the first defensive player off the board at 15 to the Colts. And you got to think that Mike McDonald and that whole front office is thinking, wait, we're going to get Byron Murphy. Remember, Michael, he was the guy, the nose edge, three technique out of Texas that we thought could be the first defensive player selected. Maybe he goes to Chicago there in the top 10. And ultimately, he drops all the way to 16. So for a guy like Mike McDonald, a defensive-minded head coach, to get his hands on a big boy like Byron Murphy at 16 is, I would say, a pretty good start to his run there in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, I think John Schneider, the general manager of Seattle, was sitting there saying, what am I missing on Murphy here? Right. Why is he slipping to me? Who's giving me this gift, right? You know, that happens to you in the draft. What don't we know that people are passing on him? I mean, it's like Dalton Kennaught in the NBA draft. Like, mm-hmm. What's going on here? Like, how is he slipping? Everybody had him going in the top 8 picks, and now all of a sudden he makes it to the Lakers at 17. You're sitting there saying, wait a minute, what am I missing here? What's going on? It's the same thing, I think, with Murphy and Latu, you know, from UCLA that the Colts were able to get. So when they start sliding out, but people have become preoccupied with offensive players, it's amazing how short of a memory we have that the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year because of their defense. Now, Mahomes is great, don't get me wrong, but they stayed in games because of their defense. They gave up 30 points one time all year. They were able to battle through the offensive struggles, the turnovers that the offense was creating. Mahomes had 14 interceptions, the most in his career, and yet they were able to hang in games because of their defense. And it's not something that's going to go away. I know we're in a new era of football, but being good on defense is always going to be synonymous with the team that wins the Super Bowl.
At KickTheBall92 chimed in on Twitter to your poll, said, Mike McDonald, the Seahawks have a very good roster. They just need to find their long-term franchise quarterback. Second on your poll there was Brian Callahan in Tennessee. Coach DeCoste said, I think Brian Callahan, because we should not be sleeping on his dad coaching the O-line. Huge additions. Yeah. So, yeah, what do you make of that? We've got a father-son situation there, and we're not talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. We're talking about the Tennessee Titans and, first-time head coach in Brian Callahan.
Bronny. Bronny's on the team. Bronny's on the team. We couldn't wait for that. Don't draft Bronny. He's going to Australia. Don't draft him. Look, I think I love Bill Callahan. I think Bill's a really good coach. To me, the question why I'm not as high on Tennessee is I'm not bought in on Will Levis. And if you understand the offense that Brian Callahan ran in Cincinnati with Zach Taylor as the head coach and Joe Burrow as the quarterback, it's an 11 personnel grouping. So there are three receivers on the field most of the time. And the run game isn't really a power run game, right? And so Pollard wasn't the same back last year. Spears is a loose play back. I don't know if he can be the main guy. Now, maybe it'll be Hassan Haskins, who they drafted in the fourth round in 22, that he can come in and do it. But for me, I worry that the offensive line, as good as Bill is not going to be able to protect as well. And I worry that Levis isn't going to be as good. And then we get to the defense, right? Look, they've got a premier player in Jeffrey Simmons. There's no question. But last year, they couldn't cover anybody. And we'll see if they can improve in that area.
22.5% of you said Brian Callahan, who gets his hands on J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama. They used his seventh overall pick. Remember, they were about minus 300 to draft a offensive lineman. You also have breakdowns in our guide, the VSiN NFL betting guide, on some of the newer coaches who've already had an opportunity to coach in the NFL. I want to jump to Dan Quinn. Quinn will have initial success. These are the words of Michael Lombardi in our guide. His tenure won't be defined by his accomplishments in 2024, but rather how he builds the team through rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. If Jaden Daniels is good, Quinn might get a second contract. If he's average, then he won't. You know, I'm from D.C., worked there for many, many years, Michael. I haven't heard one report come out of Ashburn, Virginia that is negative regarding Jaden Daniels. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, Drake May, you heard something out of New England saying, yeah, he's a little slow to, you know, grasp things. Caleb Williams, we saw some footage. Everything out of Washington land is sunshines and lollipops with Jaden Daniels, which, look, I hope it's a good thing. I mentioned in the guide, I think at plus 550 is an interesting look to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. What do you make of Dan Quinn, his second go-around as a head coach, and it's going to be in Washington?
Well, the one thing about Dan Quinn, I don't think there's a more positive human being on planet Earth than Dan Quinn. I mean, he could be on the Titanic and be happy that, you know, it's not snowing. He's really positive. And so that's why you're not hearing a negative thing come out of there. He is upbeat. His personality is upbeat. He's always going to be on the positive side of it. And maybe that's not realistic, but we'll see. Look, I think they've added a lot of pieces defensively. The offensive line is still a disaster. Yep. When you're sitting here on summer vacation knowing that Cornelius Lucas is your starting left tackle, you got to be a little bit worried about that. You know, and Andrew Wiley, who's a good player, not a great player, but he's a good player when Patrick Mahomes plays quarterback. He gets rid of the football. He's not a good player when Jaden Daniels. Now, here's the thing about Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is a runner. He wants to run it, right? It's one look and go. And he's really good at running. He made those second plays, but he didn't make second plays with his arm. He made second plays with his feet. That's not going to be the case in the NFL. He'll get away with it for a while, but then he's going to take one of those, oh my God, he just got smashed, right? So that's going to be a concern. And I don't know if they can do enough around this bad offensive line. This has been the problem in Washington going back to when Riverboat Ron was coaching the team. I mean, they never put any assets into this offensive line. And last year, they threw the ball ridiculously amount of time and got Sam Howell killed.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that the one of the previous regimes traded Trent Williams for, what, a fifth-round pick? That worked out pretty well there for Washington, as he is an elite, elite left tackle. Well, Jaden Daniels, one of his best friends is Brandon Ayuk, and he was making the rounds, talking to Ryan Clark, talking on Instagram. Where will Brandon Ayuk be playing this year? I think the answer's rather simple. We'll get into what Brandon Ayuk said earlier this week. That's Michael Lombardi. I'm Tim Murray. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get your hands on that NFL betting guide.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a Sunday. That means we got baseball all day long. Baseball best bets, courtesy of Matt Williams, up on VSiN.com. We also have those betting splits that everybody loves to take a look at. You can look at odds by state. Michael there in New Jersey. I'm here in Nevada. And Zachary Cohen taking a look at Wimbledon with the draw being out. Head on over to VSiN.com. Michael Lombardi over there. I'm Tim Murray sitting in for Femi Abebefe on this Sunday. It is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. And Michael, we were just talking about Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Dan Quinn, year one there in Washington. Optimism certainly pretty high from the standpoint of no more Daniel Snyder in Washington. So that helps elevate it. You've got a big time potential quarterback there in with that franchise. But the interesting thing all week long was that his good friend that he played with at Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk, made some rounds because of what he said on social media and then what he also had to say regarding his future in San Francisco with Ryan Clark on Ryan Clark's podcast, The Pivot. So let's jump into what Brandon Ayuk said earlier this week on his future in the Bay Area, courtesy of The Pivot.
Brandon Ayuk, first round pick, all pro wide receiver, we don't want you back. What was it exactly that they told you that prompted that conversation with JD?
They told me that they didn't think that we're on the same page and that they didn't believe that we're going to. And that was about it at that time. But it's part of it. It's part of the contract negotiations, trying to sway stuff in either direction.
What uniform is Brandon Ayuk wearing in 2024?
If I were to take a guess, probably a Niner uniform. Probably a Niner uniform. I mean, if not a Niner uniform, probably a Washington Commander uniform. If not a Washington Commander uniform, probably a Steelers uniform.
All right, so there you go. That was Brandon Ayuk. So
what a joke.
The floor is yours, former general manager Michael Lombardi. What do you make of Brandon
Ayuk?
What
a joke. Well, first of all, the first question is, there's a difference between not wanting a player and not being able to come to an agreement on a contract, right? You want the player. The 49ers have made very much clear, have made it exceptionally clear, they want Brandon Ayuk. Now, they can't agree on a number, which it happens in contract negotiations. And so when Ryan Clark says, well, then why did they say they didn't want you? He's been in too many negotiations to ask that question. They're trying to stir the fire up a little bit, which is what the worldwide leader loves to do. They try to create a story, right? There's no story here. The kid has a contract, right? They could also franchise him at the end of the year. They know they need an outside receiver, right? They have way too many inside receivers. They drafted Pearsall to give him time so they can develop. They get after Jacob Cowling to give him a returner and another inside receiver. So they've got plenty of receivers that they can work with. They're going to try to figure out what they're going to do with Debo, because Debo's a running back playing wide receiver. Here's what fans don't understand about the San Francisco 49ers. When it's third down, and it's third and eight, and we can't play action, and we can't run a scheme, we've got to win on the outside versus man-to-man. Ayuk's the only one that can do that. Kittle can do it inside, but Ayuk's the only one who can do it on the outside. They're not giving that up. See, that's just the difference between being a number one receiver and being a number two receiver. Who can win versus man-to-man on the outside on third and eight? Not all of them can. Not all of them can. So to me, it's a no story. I've said it all along. He's going to be a 49er this year. I think if they could trade Debo, they would. But I think people are reluctant to take Debo on, A, because of the contract, B, can he stay healthy? And what Kyle does with him is so unique in terms of how he utilizes them in their offensive scheme. It really works out well.
Brandon Ayuk a year ago had 105 catches for over 1,300 yards. He's had 75 catches, 105 targets, I beg your pardon, for over 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns a year ago. What do you think those conversations were like? There were conversations between Washington and San Francisco. What was the asking price, if you had to put a ballpark on it, for James Lynch to eventually, if he were to even pull the trigger on a Brandon Ayuk trade?
Well, I mean, I think, look, if you're Washington and you're Adam Peters, right, you can't give away your first round pick.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where that's going to be, right? You have no idea. It could be a top five pick. It could be a top 15 pick. You don't know. And the NFL doesn't lottery protect picks. They should, but they don't, right? It's too hard to do that in the NFL. So the Niners, look, if the Niners could have traded Ayuk for Harrison, or maybe even for Adunze, right? You know, maybe they would have done that. I don't think that's the case, right? I think to me, or Neighbors, they could have traded him for Neighbors. They certainly would have done it. But once Adunze came off the board, and I'm not sure they were in love with Adunze, right? Once that came off the board, who are you trading him for that you're going to replace him? See, this idea that draft picks, well, we'll get a draft pick for him. Well, the draft pick turns into a name. It turns into a player. Who's the player I'm getting for? I just get a one? Like, I can't walk around on Sundays saying, I got a one. Somebody's got to play, you know? And somebody, it's like in the NBA, they're trading away 20, 31 first-round picks, right? Like, that GM isn't going to be there when it comes time around. Like, I'll trade away 20, 31 picks. I'm probably not going to be here. So I think to me this is a story that the Niners would rather have moved Debo, but I think there's some reluctancy. I think the only team that was really interested in this was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the 49ers know that Washington can't give away a high pick because their team isn't very good.
Yeah, if you're Washington and you could get him for, you know, pennies on the dollar, 75 cents on the dollar, I think you do it. But clearly that was not going to be the case there, as we learned that Washington ultimately did not want to make this trade. You mentioned Malik Nabers, who is with the New York Giants. We'll talk to Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants for the New York Daily News. We have Hard Knocks starting this week, the behind-the-scenes Hard Knocks. Let me ask you this, Michael, before we get into our division predictions in the NFL betting guide. For you, a man who spent many years in front offices, what would you have thought about Hard Knocks, the front office time?
Well, I think it's a dangerous thing. I really do. I think it's very dangerous because if you don't show you know what you're doing, if you don't show you have command of your leadership role, I mean, look, people can understand good leadership and they can understand bad leadership. Right. And this has nothing to do with just visualization. I think we all saw it on TV on Thursday night. You could either tell who has good leadership and who doesn't. And you could see the absence of leadership. And so, you know, I think that's the hard part. And I've seen too many coaches, too many GMs get on Hard Knocks with absence of leadership and destroy their career. And it kind of showed who they were. I think that if you're Joe Shane, you got to have conviction. You got to have belief. But if they go on there trying to sell Daniel Jones to the New York Giants fan base, you know, that's just they all know where it's coming from. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. But I'm anxious to see it. I'm going to take copious notes as I watch it. When is it? What night is it on?
I believe it's Tuesday night. Elliot, is that right? Yeah, Tuesday, July 2nd is when we're going to get the first episode.
Can't wait.
Of Hard Knocks.
Well, the NBA free agency will be over with by that, so we can then tune into that.
By the way,
that'll last an hour.
I can't wait. We have got the A block in hour two for Michael's thoughts on the NBA. I am fired up to hear about what you got burning inside there, Michael. I can't wait. I'm just going to sit back with my feet up and let you go for some NBA free agency talk.
I keep asking a question. Like, I keep wondering, like, who improves their team? Like, everybody's just exchanging pieces. Like, I don't know. Like, I think Sam Presti improves his team. I think Brad Steven improves his team. I just don't know who improves their team. Like, I don't know who's going to be better. You know, the key is to make the players you have better.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Michael. I know your friend Bill Simmons was pretty fired up when Baylor Shireman dropped his Celtics there with 30. I'm as a college basketball guy, to see the Celtics, who are coming off of a championship, get a what seems to be a very nice role piece in the Creighton shooter. That's a pretty good selection, as you mentioned, from Brad Stevens and company. Once again, our NFL betting guide is out. Pat Leonard going to join us in 5 minutes. The NFC East, you and I agree, Philadelphia Eagles, it will continue the trend of no repeat winner since, I believe, 2004. If that were to come home, Eagles over the Cowboys, they are the slight favorite there. So when you look at this Eagles roster, Michael, obviously, you know, a man who is making a lot of money podcasting now, Jason Kelce, is gone. But the Eagles have had a kind of an heir apparent plan there in Philadelphia for quite some time, when the day inevitably came that Kelce would, you know, call it a career.
Well, their line's still good. I mean, Kelce does so many things at the line of scrimmage in terms of getting them in the protection they need. You know, he's one of the few players that can reroute the protection from the center position. What I don't think fans really understand, when you play center, sometimes you can't see on the left to the right, you know, where the blitzes are coming from. You've got to be really good at being able to identify it and have a lot of time in preparation. Kelce was good at that. Usually the quarterback needs to help you out there. That's where, you know, Brady handled everything at the line of scrimmage. You know, no one had to worry about it. Brady was redirecting the protection based on what he saw. So, but look, I think the Eagles, it's going to be interesting to see. They signed Barkley. They were very good 2 years ago. What are they going to run? Are they going to throw it with Kellen Moore? Are they going to run it with Kellen Moore? I think that's what. And when Jalen Hurts came out and said 95% of the offense is Kellen Moore's, that gave me a rise of thought.
Well, Saquon Barkley's new team is the Eagles. His former team is the Giants. And we're talking about them next with Pat Leonard.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, and best future bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a season better or just getting started, the NFL Betting Guide is what you need to make those informed bets. VSiN.com/guide to get your hands on our all-new NFL Betting Guide. VSiN.com/guide. It is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings on this Sunday morning here. I'm in Las Vegas, Michael Lombardi there in New Jersey. A little bit of breaking NBA news. J.B. Bickerstaff, who was fired by the Cleveland Cavaliers after the Cavaliers were bounced in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference, he is reportedly going to be the new head coach of the Detroit Pistons. So around and around we go, Michael, in the NBA. And
Yeah, makes sense.
As of now, we are done with our head coaching hirings in the NFL. NBA, excuse me.
Well, I think it makes sense because, remember, they got to pay off Monty. They got to pay off Monty Williams. And so they hire a coach who's getting paid by Cleveland, so it offsets some of that Monty money. You know, and I think that, don't think that doesn't go into the equation. They get a discounted deal on a coach after they spent so much money on this. So, look, it's going to be a really important that how they develop the young players on Detroit, because that's where Monty fell short. 14 wins. You know, they weren't expecting Monty to win the title, but they were expecting to get better.
More NBA chatter. Well, I'm just going to kick my feet up and let Michael go. Top of the hour. But right now, let's keep talking ball. Let's talk some New York football Giants. Pat Leonard, a man who's been covering the Giants for quite some time, joins us courtesy of our progressive guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at PLeonardNYD, New York Daily News. And also check out his YouTube channel, his show, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. Pat, I'll start with the rookie wide receiver, because I'm sure Michael wants to chat some Daniel Jones with you. Malik Nabers, the expectation, the excitement. We were talking a little bit about Jaden Daniels earlier this hour in Washington. Malik Nabers steps in, highly, highly productive collegiate career. What do we expect from Malik Nabers day one there in New York?
Yeah, Tim and Michael, thanks for having me. Nabers looks special in the spring, that's for sure. And they drafted him to change their offense, one of the worst offenses in football. And unfortunately, they don't retain Saquon Barkley in order to take some pressure off the 20-year-old rookie wide receiver. So he's going to have to carry a heavy load. But if Daniel Jones is going to get one last chance at this, this is by far his best weapon out on the outside as a wide receiver. Did see him in the slot a lot during the spring, but he's versatile enough where he can move around. So I think what you're going to see this year is Brian Daboll, the play caller, with a lot of receivers who actually do their best work in the slot, and it's going to be on him, the head coach and the play caller, to kind of mix and match and try to free up Nabers by tricking the defense, because it's going to be obvious for defenses who to double team. But he really does look special, right, like a guy who could be a big-time target.
Pat, so all this sounds great on paper, but where is the offensive line? I know they're really excited about the additions that they've made to the offensive line, but from watching at minicamp, do you feel like this line is improved?
I think it's potentially improved on the interior. So Jermaine Illuminor, the right tackle from the Raiders last year, they have at left guard, and then John Runyon Jr. at right guard around John Michael Schmitz, the second-year center, who also needs to get better from a bad rookie season. So if that solidifies early, that would be better than the rotation they had going last year, where Daboll was literally rotating three guards on the two positions every single snap, trying to figure out who they had going. The problem, Michael, as you know, is that those guys, you know, you paid them. It doesn't mean it's going to result in drastic improvement. But also, Evan Neal really wasn't on the field all spring after a misdiagnosed injury, getting surgery on his ankle, and their tackle depth is non-existent right now. Like, I think they're going to be on the market for, you know, waiver claims on cut day, looking for ways to resolve their tackle position, their depth spot. And really, they're kind of putting all their eggs in one basket at right tackle, it looks like, with the number 7 overall pick from a couple years ago. And, I don't think they've solved the problem yet of being, you know, one injury away from total disaster. I still think they're there.
Pat Leonard joining us here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN. He's an NFL columnist for the New York Daily News. He's covered the Giants for many years. Once again, check out his show on YouTube, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. All right, let's get to the quarterback, Daniel Jones, in New York, man. It is it's a pressure cooker, there's no doubt. Heading into this year, what do the Giants, what do the brass need to see from Daniel Jones? We've seen it since he got drafted in 2019, Pat. What do they need to see in order to believe that he's the guy moving forward after 2024?
I mean, touchdowns and wins. You know, it's not rocket science. You know, Daniel Jones knows it. I mean, you know, you look at 2022 season, 15 touchdown passes, and that's the year that ends up earning him his big contract, right? Like, they need him to put the ball in the end zone. I mean, if you stood at practice and watched Daniel Jones play for a day, you'd be impressed by his size in the pocket. You'd be impressed by his mobility. He looks like an athlete. You know, like, you know how you ever walk by an NBA player, and even if you don't know who he is, you just say, I know that guy's a pro athlete. Like, Daniel Jones is that kind of guy. But when he gets in those critical moments, the kind of pressure cooker, the red zone, when the field shrinks, the decision-making changes, he doesn't read the field well on second reads, and you know, you remember Sam Darnold famously years ago saying he was seeing ghosts in MetLife. That's how Jones got last year, with the offensive line breaking down. I mean, the throw that might end up defining his career is that pick six against the Seahawks last year, where he had an extra second to wait and hit an open receiver in the back of the end zone, but he rushed it because he didn't want to take one more hit. Tough player. He knows he needs to play better, but it really has to do with Daboll trying last year to, you know, take it from the run-based approach of using Jones's legs in 2022 and opening it up and putting it more on his shoulders like he did with Josh Allen, you know, in 2023. And when Daboll tried to do that, both Jones and the team around him kind of collapsed. So they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. My concern is, without Barkley and with an offensive line that still needs to prove it to us, is there a running game to take pressure off this guy, right? Like, Neighbors is exciting, but I don't know if you have a running game and just kind of a balanced enough offense here to take pressure off of Jones. And I think you need to, for him to be successful.
We're all excited about Hard Knocks in season, right? And so there was a lot of talk. They spent a lot of time with the quarterbacks. Will we find out this rhetoric that's coming out that they really want it all, but they, after that, all after, Drake May went off the board at three, they stopped calling to move up. What will be the reality of that conversation?
Yeah, I do think we're going to hear the giant side of a lot of these stories for sure. So we're going to hear whatever they want us to hear. They had full editorial control of this show. But I think it would be almost jumping the shark to be that just disingenuous to portray conversations as if they weren't trying to get the quarterback. Like, maybe omitting the conversations that are on camera at HBO and NFL Films where they were desperately trying to go up and get Drake May at three, that would be one thing. But, you know, having a conversation or inserting some dialogue around it or narration that reflects that they were never looking for the QB and they were looking for an offensive tackle, I think that would be disingenuous. Because, I mean, Michael, you and I know this, like, what the one thing, like, teams have to protect themselves and their investments in their players and all that, but when the Giants say, we always do work on quarterbacks like we did this year, that is not true. Like, the amount of resources they expended this year scouring the country, literally, for all of these top quarterbacks to zero in on the one and try and go get him. That's what happened. Like, they didn't do it the year before. They did it this year. And so, you know, I would be as shocked as you would be, I think, if we heard some insistence on the part that they were trying to get all.
Going to be fascinating, no doubt about it. Pat Leonard, NFL columnist, New York Daily News, joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Pat, we really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to, just like you, see what comes out on HBO on Tuesday night.
Yeah, looking forward
Thank
to
you,
it.
Thank you, Pat. Great job, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Pat Leonard. Talking Ball. Check it out on YouTube with Pat Leonard and follow him on Twitter at Pat Leonard NYDN. I just a couple seconds before we hit the top of the hour break, Michael, what are you looking forward to seeing? Because as he just said, they looked long and hard for quarterbacks. How are they going to try to spin this on HBO?
Well, I mean, I think what he said, the most telling thing he said was how high they are on Jerome Illuminor, whereas the Raiders were very happy to get rid of him, feel like they replaced him with the draft and at right tackle with Mumford. So that's, to me, is always two different personalities. And I know Illuminor. He's not a guard. He's a better tackle. But once again, the Giants are not going to give up on Neal, who they drafted. So this is, again, configuring the team around to make sure the draft picks don't look as bad as they might look.
It's the Lombardi Line here on a Sunday morning on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.